Listen, today's message reminds us, instructs us, if this is your first time hearing this, that to love God and to completely love people, it costs us something. It does. To love God and love people, it costs us. And it might make you uncomfortable. Okay, it made me uncomfortable as I was preparing for this message. Like, God kind of spoke to my heart a little bit. All right. I'm just going to be really honest with you. This morning as I was praying, I prayed that the spirit of offense would be checked at the door. Okay, do you hear that? I prayed that the spirit of offense would be checked at the door. Because what God is saying to us today has nothing about us being offended. It has everything to do with like, okay, God, what am I missing anything? What do you want to say to me about these things? How do you want to move me forward? And that's something that we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. We said that the whole campaign for this year is called the Forward Movement for 2022. Forward Movement. We talked about that this morning during prayer time. And if you're wondering, like, what's prayer time? 9:15 every Sunday morning, we gather right here to pray over every person that's going to walk in this place on Sunday morning, to pray over the message, to pray over whatever God wants to do. We gather at 9:15 and we do that. Okay? And so something I shared at prayer this morning is that God was saying, like, this is, I want to move people forward today. And God doesn't take us from like January 1st to December 31st and just like this hyper, like, push forward all year long. Our forward movement comes in like waves, right? Because we have to have time to adjust to the new position that God's putting us in and the new season he's bringing us into. So he pushes us forward and then he's like, okay, adjust to that. Like, come on, feel it. Feel that? It's good. Okay, now we're comfortable. Like, okay, yeah, this is my normal now. Then he's like, okay, now next push forward, right? Okay, and I was trying to figure out all week what I was feeling, because I've just felt like, not like something, nothing bad happened this week. I just felt this, like, in my spirit, like this feeling of just, like, unrest. Like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And this is what it was. God's like, okay, it's time for the next push forward. That's what it is. It's time for the next push forward. And sometimes that makes us uncomfortable because we know to move forward costs us something. It costs us our comfortability. God never wants us to be comfortable. You don't like that, do you? I don't like it either. But he doesn't want us to be comfortable. He always wants us moving forward and learning new things and growing, okay? So, that's what today is all about. It's about let's move forward. And so, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to be ridiculously generous, because that's who Hope City is. And, you know, I love you. It's super easy. It's super easy to enjoy the benefits of the culture that's created at Hope City. Right? Isn't it? Like, I've heard everyone say, like, it feels good here. The minute I walked in, I felt like I belonged. I was met with open arms. It's super easy to enjoy the benefits of Hope City. But it's not always easy to be an active and healthy contributor to the culture. Let me say that one more time. It's really easy to enjoy the benefits of the culture of Hope City, but it's not always easy to be an active and healthy contributor to that culture. Right? And so in order to be an active and healthy contributor to the culture of Hope City, where we love God, we love people, we must be ridiculously generous. And today, I'm going to talk about some things where God's calling us to be ridiculously generous. I'm going to read this portion of scripture in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. And this is talking about the birth of the church. Like, when I say the church, I mean like the nationwide, worldwide, how the church of gathering together of people who believe the same thing, how this happened, okay? And it started in the book of Acts. And so here's what was said. Luke is writing this, and he said, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Don't get all nervous. Don't get all nervous. I'm not saying that in order to be a healthy contributor to Hope City, you have to sell your home and give Hope City the money. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? That's not what Luke was saying either, who wrote the book of Acts, okay? But being ridiculously generous looks like this. God, what do I have that you could use to bring more people into your kingdom and rescue them from hell? Let me say that one more time. Being ridiculously generous looks like this. God, what do I have that you can use in order to bring more people into your kingdom and rescue them from hell? Right? And we're going to spend the next few minutes going over the two main areas in our lives that we have the most difficult time being generous with, and why it's important to listen to what Jesus says about those two areas. We're going to talk about our personal time and money. Right? It's the two things in our lives, and I can say this because it's the same. It's the two things in our lives that we struggle to be generous with. But in order for Hope City to move forward for another year, it's going to require ridiculous generosity from every person. Because God didn't just call you as an individual to move forward. He called Hope City as a church to move forward. And we only do that together. I can move forward as an individual. I can move forward. I can be obedient. I could be exponentially more mature than anyone else because I'm being obedient. But what does that benefit Hope City? Unless we're doing it all together, right? And so in order for Hope City to move forward, he calls us to be ridiculously generous. And so the first thing that I'm going to talk to you about might be the hardest thing. I don't know, actually. We're going to go to point two, Jess. God's flipping the script today, and that's okay. All right? I used to think that, honestly, this was the hardest part. But I think that the second part might be harder. Okay? God calls us to be ridiculously generous with our money, with our finances. And I know that this can be hard for some people. The idea of releasing your hard-earned money sometimes doesn't sit well, right? But there's two very important reasons why we need to be ridiculously generous with our finances. The first one is this. God asks us to. Not only he doesn't ask us, he tells us, like, this is important, okay? I don't ever want to be guilty of not doing something that God specifically tells me to do. And if you're sitting there like, God's never told me to do that, baloney. We're a Bible-believing church. We are people who believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that the Bible is our roadmap to moving forward in our lives in relationship with Jesus, correct? Is that right? So if that's who we are, then let's go to the roadmap. Let's go to the user's manual, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this, bring all of the tithes into the storehouse. He's talking about, you know, where you get fed. So there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the window of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. All right, so God's not saying, like, if you don't do it, you're damned to hell. That's not what he's saying at all. But he's saying, if you do it, I'm released to then bless you more than you could ever imagine. If you do what I ask you to do, then I'm released to give you more than you can ever think of. It might not be like you give him the money that he's asking for, and then he gives you an exponential amount of money in return, but it could be a number of different things of how he provides for you. Okay, so don't be like, okay, well, I gave him $10, so now I'm expecting like a blessing of $100. That's not how he works. Sometimes he does, but that's not how he always works, okay? Anytime that I'm having a discussion with someone and they're talking about their finances and how they're struggling, or like they don't have enough, or they're wondering, you know, you want to know one of the very first things that I ask? It is. Are you tithing? That's what we call it. That's the word that God talks about is the money that he asks you to give back to him. Tithing. That's what it's called. And so that's the first thing I ask. Well, are you tithing? Because honestly, God can't bless what you don't trust him with. He can't bless what you don't trust him with. So if you're not trusting him with what he's asking for you, don't be surprised when you're like, man, I don't even know how I'm going to pay my bills this week. Because we are a people who are called to walk by faith. God, you said, if I do this, then you'll do this. The then doesn't happen until we step out. Okay, so that's the first reason. Why should we be ridiculously generous with our finances? Because God asks us to. He tells us to. The second reason is of equal importance. We should be ridiculous with our finances because it builds his kingdom. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Don't be hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their values, for your heart will always pursue what you esteem as your treasure. What do you esteem as your treasure? What do you esteem as of high value to you? God's kingdom? Or man, I really want this. If I give what God's asking me to do, then I can't buy the boat that I really want. And he's saying, like, don't, hey, where are you stockpiling your wealth? On earth or in heaven? And finally, we're to be generous with our finances to take care of the ones who grow us spiritually. I didn't say it, Paul did. In Galatians 6:6, he said, "And those who are taught the word must share all good things with their teacher." If you've been through Growth Track, then you should have a really good understanding of the business side of Hope City. If you haven't been through Growth Track, I will see you on September 17th at 9 a.m., right? Okay? Because this is one of the things that we talk about. Part of the reasons why we give is because Paul says, listen, if people are pouring into you spiritually, if you have pastors over you who are growing you spiritually, you have a personal responsibility to make sure that they're taken care of. That's all I'm going to say about that. Pardon me while I go back and now go back to the other point, okay? And here's why I find like this is so funny, because so many times, at least for me, growing up in churches, like money has always been a big hang up for people. And I don't know that that's so much the case right now. But, okay, I think this might be the case. Be ridiculously generous with your calendar. Don't try to create balance in your life. Tip the scales. Wait a minute, Paul. I thought that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have balance. There's no such thing. If you try to have an equal portion of what society and the world wants you to do and what God wants you to do, you'll fall short every time. We should tip the scales and be in God's presence and be with people who are like-minded and can encourage us to move forward. Don't try to create balance. Tip the scales. Fill your calendar with things that will feed your spirit and will bring people to Jesus. I've heard Jason say many times, show me your calendar and I'll show you where your priorities are. Okay? I've heard him say it. And it's true. Show me your calendar and I'll show you where your priorities are. Attending church on Sunday and attending a life group throughout the week should most definitely be a priority. Why? Why should it be a priority? Keeps God in front. It keeps the support. I hear all of this, like these little popcorn answers out here, right? Because here's what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I'm just going to tell you, you should go and read the whole chapter of Hebrews 10. As Paul is like encouraging people, like, listen, this is what it looks like to move forward with Jesus. Okay? But this is just a little snippet of what he said. Don't neglect coming together of people of like-mindedness so that we can encourage one another. We can grow together. We can move forward together, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I don't know about you, but man, when I step into my place of where I work every day, I need God's presence to go with me. And I can't do that on my own. I'm encouraged when I'm here with you. I'm encouraged when I'm with my life group on Monday nights. Plug for life groups. Listen, next week, it's your week. Choose a life group and get plugged in. You can't come around once every 6 or 8 weeks and then be shocked when you don't feel connected. I love you. You can't come around only once every 6 or 8 weeks and then feel like you have nowhere to turn when the rug is pulled out from underneath you. Ridiculous generosity requires us to show up. and to smile about it. Right? And I asked Robin to come and join me up here and share something because God really dropped on her heart something this morning. And listen, you guys, be nice to Robin. She's choosing to do this because she loves you. She doesn't like talking in front of people. And I gave her the opportunity to say, no, you don't have to. No. But she said, I'm going to do it. So, Robin, tell me what God spoke to you this morning.
Oh, gosh, the lights are bright up here.
I know, right? Thank you.
So this morning I got woke up about 2 a.m. And God just started, like, downloading into me. And he told me to go look at the story about the woman with the issue of blood. And I was thinking, why do you want me to look at that story? You know, everybody knows that story. But he just showed me some things that I didn't realize about this passage of scripture. For one, the woman with the issue of blood had the issue for 12 years. So ladies, it's a long time. And she was deemed unclean by Jewish law. So nobody could talk to her, touch her, have relationship with her. So she was pretty much ostracized from society. And she was all by herself, and anything she touched became unclean too. So I sure wouldn't want to be that woman. That's huge, you know? And when Jesus came to town, it was kind of like, how do you explain it? I mean, it was kind of like a mosh pit. You know, everybody wanted to be around Jesus. Everybody wanted to get something from Jesus. Everybody wanted to be healed from Jesus. So it was like thousands and thousands and thousands of people just pushing in and shoving and creating this total, like, chaos, which God isn't chaos. And so what happens is this lady, I can just see her. She's kind of like, do I do this or do I not do this? Or how am I going to do this without touching anyone because I'm unclean? But she pushes her way through the crowd. And if you've ever been at a concert and want to get to the front of the concert, it's hard. It's super hard. You got to push and be very, like, kind of aggressive about it, you know? And I can see her just... and really wanting this. Like, she knows if she can just touch the hem of his garment, that she's going to be healed. And I'm sure it took her, it wasn't like right away she got up there. It took her a while to get up there. She finally touches the hem of his garment, and he stops, and he says, who touched me? But if you think about this also, in that crowd of people, everybody wanted to be healed, but they didn't have the faith to be healed. So last week, Pastor was talking about our cups being cracked. And I know my cup's been cracked quite a bit. And it takes a village to raise a child. So when people come in here with their cups cracked, he showed me that people that are serving here and the people that are ready to take the next step are going to be putting their hands on the crack of those cups and helping and walking beside these people. So it's going to take us getting out of our comfort zone, freeing up our calendars to give more time to people. But I know that we're going to see such a difference when we do that, because it's kind of what Jesus called us to do, right? To save the unlost. And this is the best place to bring them.
Come on.
It really is. This is the safe place. They may not know it right now, but this is the best and the safe place to come when your cup is cracked.
Yeah. It's really good. Nope. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to come over to you. Hang on, though. So I'm going to tell you something. Like, Chris and I had a conversation today as well. And I said, listen, if God's telling you you need to share this, you make eye contact with me. And we'll do it. But I'm not going to force it. And he's up here going, I know, I know. As Robin's up here talking, he's like, I But I want to preface before I come over to Chris about why I'm going over here to Chris. Number one, I want you to know something, is that when we shine a spotlight on a person, the enemy likes to try to attack. So right now, I'm just declaring a covering over Robin and a covering over Chris right now in Jesus' name, that he will protect what is his. And that we are declaring the scripture in Revelation that we overcome together by the blood of the Lamb, which is already done for us, and the word of our testimony. All right? So every time you stand up and you share your story, you're stomping on the devil's head and he hates it. Come on. Right? So last week, we went on a rafting trip with some people in our life group. And Jason had talked about this broken cup, right? And Chris shares, yeah, I think my cup's been broken for a long time. And I don't know how to get it fixed. And so I just said, I'm like, well, ask Jesus. And this is what I love about Chris. He's just like, okay, right there in the middle of the river, Jesus, how do you want to fix my cup? He sure did. And I go, well, what are you saying? I don't know. He's not saying anything. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, maybe he just wants you to go when it's quiet or whatever. And so we just go a little bit ways more down the river. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know how. He told me he's using you guys to fix my cup. That's what he said. He's using you guys. Do you see what Robin just said? And God told Chris, he's using us. I'm using the people that I put around you to fix your cup. And then this week, God did something pretty extraordinary for Chris, and he's going to share that just a little bit.
So this is really hard. I don't like talking to people, let alone in front of a bunch of people. Friday night, we went to bed, and I was laying in bed, and I was just thinking about the person I am and how I'm always negative and how I treat my family, and it's not the best, and just really convicted, and was kind of, maybe crying a little bit. And so God spoke to me like I heard words. He said, I can take this from you. I can heal you. I can change this. I can do it. You just got to give it to me. And I never in my life have I felt peace like that. I gave it to him, I guess, because I just hysterically broke down, bawling like I've never cried in my life, like sobbing, and like demons were coming out of me, and like I was fighting it, and my wife was holding me, and she woke up to this. It was the middle of the night, and she woke up to me having this breakdown, and she just held me, and she's like, well, quit fighting it. And it was like I was trying to cry, but I couldn't because I was trying to keep it in. And literally felt like demons were coming out of me. So I hit the floor, hit my knees, and we prayed. And he stopped it and didn't make me feel any more then. But it was like, you just got to trust him. And he took it. There's room in my cup now. I feel it.
Like, come on. How important do you think it is to show up? How important do you think it is to show up? Because I'm telling you right now, if when Chris walked in here a year ago and we hadn't already been here showing up, what Chris experienced, that encounter that he had with the love of Jesus, would never have happened. God uses us to mend the cracks in other people's cup. And if you don't show up, who's going to? Woo! Let's pray. I'm just going to invite everyone.